Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, dealing with the slave-master relationship, which also applies in almost every detail to the employer-employee relationship, the Apostle Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us first of all the general principle in verse 18 of chapter 2, and then secondly the necessary motive, what attitude God tells us must lie behind our responses to those who are in authority over us in our working world. And then finally, there's a helpful explanation in verse 20. So here it is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Well, we've already dealt with the general principle, namely the required submission of slaves to their masters, regardless of whether they are good masters or bad masters. And by extension, the requirement of employees to be submissive to their employers, again, regardless of whether they are good employers or not so good ones. But there are other things that we need to look at in the next two verses, and we'll do that as we gather around the Word of God once again on this Friday, October 18, and are enabled to do so by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. All right, what motives underlie our submission to our masters in the case of slaves and employers in the case of the rest of us? Well, we are told in verse 19, for this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Peter's talking now about unjust circumstances. If one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Grief, sorrow, pain, physical or emotional, incurred for no just reason. No wrong on our part is what Peter is saying. If we have reprisals, if we have obstacles, if we have difficulties that come to us that have nothing to do with any wrong on our part, but they come to us because the master is cruel, he is devilish, he's perverted, because he hates Christ, because he delights to torment Christians, because he resents you because you are a better person than he is. If for any of these reasons, unjust reasons, you have to endure grief or suffering, accept it. Accept it for the right reason, because of conscience. Again, verse 19, for this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Because our God-ordained conscience prompts us to do this, because we know that it is the will of God, because that's been revealed to us in Scripture. Or because we are conscious of God's presence with us and therefore of His will and approval on what we do. This is implicit trust in the sovereignty of God to protect us, to care for us, and to judge those who do us wrong. Now, we want to take matters into our own hands, don't we? But do you remember where the Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay"? And many, many times we are called upon by God to commit injustices to the Lord and trust Him to deal with them in His time, in His way. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it perfectly. And when we do it that way, when we submit even to injustice in the workplace relationships because we are trying to be pleasing to God, this is commendable. This gains divine favor. Back to the first part of verse 19. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. This is commendable. Literally, this is grace, charis. This is thankworthy. This is creditable toward us. This is commendable. This finds favor. This assures us of God's approval. When we do this, God is pleased. It's a general statement that can be applied in a lot of situations, but this is what the Scripture tells us. It reminds me a great deal of the Beatitudes of Christ. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you unjustly for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, that's not identical, but it's the same idea. When you endure this kind of injustice graciously, you are blessed. You are rewarded. God is pleased. And you are to be commended, and God will bless you. God will reward you richly. Well, that's the same idea. Servants, verse 18, going back to that again, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, it is tough to suffer wrongfully, isn't it? When you know that you have done right, and in response to the good, to the right that you have done, you incur some kind of penalty, and you know it's unjust. You know it's not deserved. You know that what you deserved was to be commended and perhaps rewarded, and instead you are cussed out and are penalized in some way. That is mighty difficult to take, isn't it? It just, something within all of us rises up in those situations and says, that's not fair. And of course, it's not fair. But remember this, it gains divine favor when you accept these things humbly and without retaliation and without anger and without resentment. You take these things as from the hand of God and suffer them patiently. That's exactly what we're being told here. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Because of conscience toward God. Because you know that this is what God desires of you. And then it's followed up, finally, with a helpful explanation of verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And Peter here distinguishes between two different kinds of suffering, and only the second one gains divine approval. There's no credit for deserved suffering. What glory, what credit, what fame is there when you are beaten? And of course, he's talking about the slave-master relationship, and a beating of a slave was a very common thing in Peter's day, in the Roman Empire. But what glory do you have if you are beaten, buffeted, harshly treated for your faults, literally for your sins, for what you've done that is wrong? If you take that patiently, well, that's just like a prisoner who knows he's broken the law and knows he's in prison justly, and he's just doing his time, which he knows he's brought upon himself because of his breaking the laws of society. Now, the truth is, most people in prison claim to be innocent, or at least to not be suffering more harshly than they deserve, because that's human nature, to justify oneself and to blame the other person and to say, I wasn't really at fault, I got caught up in a bad situation, and the other guy's the one who was really doing the wrong, and he got away, and I got caught, and here I am, and that's not fair. But for a prisoner to say, hey, I know that I broke the law, I know that I stole, I know that I beat that guy up, I know that I'm doing time for my own misdeeds. Well, if you take that patiently, do your time patiently, that's no credit. But when you do good and suffer for doing good, if you take it patiently, that gains divine favor. No credit for deserved suffering, but divine favor for patiently enduring unjust suffering. When you do good, when you obey, when you work hard, when you do right, when you do what you are told, when others are shirking work and cheating and sometimes are rewarded, and here you are doing right and you're unjustly punished, that's pretty hard to take. But when you do that patiently, as unto the Lord, God is pleased, God approves, and God will reward. Now, folks, it all boils down to this. In our sinful nature, we all have fundamental problems with authority. But as Christians, we are to be respectful and submissive in all human institutions. That's an important aspect of our testimony before the world. Attitudes of general rebellion against authority do great damage to the testimony of Christ, is what this whole passage is teaching us. And they, frankly, also reveal that we have some unresolved issues with God and His authority, because He's the one who commands us to do this. And then, therefore, we need to recognize God's authority and submit to it. And if God, exercising His authority, tells us to be submissive to other authorities, then, of course, we do it because that's what is required, to be submissive to the ultimate authority, God. And these things need to be reinforced, and we need to be reminded of these. These need to be seriously addressed in American Christianity. And the only place that we can begin is with me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of an attitude adjustment in regard to authorities that God has placed in my life. O Lord, help me to submit to them as unto Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.